Welcome to the Building Church. At the Building Church, we are committed to raising up people of balanced stature for Jesus in all phases of life. Join God's servant, Pastor Jeremiah James, as he brings the word with clarity, grace, and truth.
Thank you, Father. Thank you because you bless our heart again. You transform our lives in the name of Jesus. We will never remain the same in the name of Jesus. Open your eyes of understanding to know your word, what you are to us. Let your thoughts be made known to us in Jesus' mighty name. For in Jesus' mighty name have we pray. Glory to God. Please celebrate the worship team with me as they go to have their seat. Hallelujah. Please, can you celebrate somebody to your right and to your left and tell them welcome to church. Is how you greet people, say them welcome to church. Glory to God. Please help me celebrate my amazing wife, Pastor Les James. Is that how we celebrate, yeah? Glory to God. Alright, please let's be seated. Glory to God. I'm sure you are in for a blessing tonight. Try as much as possible to not be distracted. Glory to God. All right, if you are just joining us for the first time, you are welcome to church. This is the Building Church. My name is Pastor. I almost said Pastor Lois James. My name is Jeremiah James. Glory to God. I'm the privileged pastor of the Building Church. And at the Building Church, we have one vision, to build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life. And we saw this in the life of Jesus in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2 verse 52, the Bible says Jesus grew in stature, in wisdom, and in favor with God and man. And as far as I'm concerned, that is the believer's balanced diet. It's reflective here that Jesus growing in wisdom shows mental and intellectual growth. In fact, I think KJV used the word increase. So what it implies is when you use the word stature means to increase in height. So what it implies is that when you join us at the Building Church, any day, any time, you should expect increase. That you are not going to stay at the same position again in your life. Why? Because we saw Jesus reflect balanced maturity. Jesus grew in wisdom, which is reflecting mental and what? And intellectual growth. The Bible also showed us that he grew in stature. That is a representation of what? Of physical and personal discipline. In stature means that Jesus increased physically, like he was increasing in height physically. So that means that the first thing you need to note in the balanced stature that we say we are pursuing as a church is that you must have mental and intellectual growth. That is, there must be increase in your mental and intellectual growth, which is what we saw in Jesus' life here, wisdom. And then there must be increase in what? In your physical and what? And personal discipline. Increase in your physical and personal discipline. What it implies is that if you have been praying on K-Leg before, that is, joining, being a part of the Building Church means that there is now a discipline in your life. You can maintain stature. Are we on the same page? That is, there can be increase in your physical, in your physicality, and increase in your what? In your personal discipline. That is, you are giving yourself to personal growth, personal development, as a member of the Building Church. Another thing that we saw in Jesus' life is that he had favor with God. If you have favor with God, you are going to have encounters. So Jesus increased in favor with God. Jesus increased in favor with God. I, Jeremiah James, I'm going to increase in favor with God. So what that also shows is that there is spiritual growth. There is intimacy with the Father in the life of Jesus. Another thing we saw is that Jesus had favor with men. Glory to God. Can you give me in CEV? Can you give me this translation in CEV? Can you give me this verse 2? Please, can we read this together? He said, Jesus became wise and he grew what? Strong. He said, God was pleased with him and so were people. God was pleased with him and so were the people. So as a member of the building church, one of the things that should be evident in your life is that even the people are pleased with you. It's not the one that when the section was over, your roommates were happy. And finally, that troublemaker has gone. That troublemaker has left. No. That is not a balanced stature. Balanced stature, balanced growth implies that there is going to be mental and intellectual growth. There's going to be increase in your mental and intellectual growth. The second thing is that there's going to be increase in your physical what? And personal discipline. Then there's going to be a growth in your spirituals. That is favor with God. Growth in your spirituals. And then there is going to be growth in your social and relational life. Social and relational life, which is with people. With people. So that for me is the epicenter of balanced living. And Jesus showed it. Jesus grew in wisdom. There was increase in his mental and intellectual capacity. Jesus grew physically and in personal development, in personal discipline. Jesus grew with favor, in favor with God. That is, his spiritual growth and his intimacy with God was on the increase. Jesus grew in his favor with men. What it implies that what is that Jesus had a strong social and relational growth. There was strong social and relational growth. So, I don't know who you are that you came here. Maybe you are doing well spiritually, but you're mentally you are not doing too well. This is your church. And then maybe you are doing well mentally. You are a first class, a scholar. But spiritually, you are nowhere to be found. You have still found yourself a church. And then maybe you are doing well spiritually. You are also doing well mentally. But socially, in no day, there is no increase. This is where you are supposed to belong to. Because I found out in my study of scripture that the whole essence of Jesus' message was on relationship with God and relationship with your fellow men. Relationship with God and relationship with your fellow men. I think myself and my wife were checking the Beatitude yesterday in the kitchen. I was showing her the Beatitude and then we were saying it one after the other. And I discovered that the whole of the Beatitude was centered around God and relationship with men. Take for instance, the first on the Beatitude, he said, poor in spirit. Poor in spirit. And I've often said it, that if you are not poor, you can't be rich. Yeah, if you are not poor in the spirit, you cannot be rich towards God. Poor in spirit. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. He did not say blessed are the poor. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit. That is when we check your spirit, there is nothing inside. Your spirit is dependent on God. It's as good as saying, hope you know, broke is relative. In the realm of the spirit, if you are not broke, you can't serve God. I say, if you have idea in the realm of the spirit, you can't serve God. It's only broken men that can serve God. So, it's only when you are broken, that is, you don't get anything for house. Your dependency is on God. That is when the Bible says that what? That yours is the kingdom of heaven. So, Jesus here was pointing to us that we need to depend on the Holy Spirit. We need to depend on God for us to have any clue about the kingdom of God. The next one he now went to immediately after that is the meek. He said, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. I was like, wow. So blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. What that scripture is saying is that when you have lot in the kingdom of God, you must have lot on earth. The meek here is connecting humility, a state of a heart. No man like a proud man. Yes, if you are proud, you are going to see. If you are proud, God is fighting you. If you are proud, men are also against you. So there is no way you are going to stand that you are going to win. So Jesus here again is showing that we need to show meekness in our relationship with men. Then the next thing he still went further to say is that those that are hunger and thirst for righteousness sake. Those that are hunger, he said they will be filled. So what does it imply? It means you're pressing to God again. Still dependent on God. And then he left there and said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. What it implies is that
Do unto others what you want them to do unto you. He's still talking about your relationship with your fellow man. And then he still went further and said, blessed are the peacemaker. Peacemaker. That is, blessed are the peacemaker. For they shall be called the son of God. That is, your neighbor will see you and call you the son of God. Your neighbor will know that you have a relationship with God if you are at peace with him. He's still talking about relationship with others. And then he also went further and said, blessed are those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. What it implies is that he's showing us hope. That, you are going to, that once there is hope, that is once you are mourning, once you are in any state, if you still depend on God, God will still come true. And then he still went further again and said, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake, is the first thing he said. For righteousness' sake, what is righteousness' sake? Having right standing. That is when people are persecuting you for having right standing. He says, yours is the kingdom of God. He now still went further. He said, blessed are you when people persecute you for my sake. There is, for righteousness' sake, for standing right, that is, because you are standing right with anything that is right. And then you are going to have a blessedness. And then when it is for God's sake. So there is nothing Jesus said in the Beatitude that is not within the confines of God and man. So that is why you see that Jesus was not only having favor with God, he had favor with men. And like Apostle Simon will beautifully say, you see, if you have favor with God, you have encounters. Encounters. You understand? But when you have favor with men, life will be easy. Because you see, you are in the world of men. So much so that the Bible says, when a man's way please the Lord, he make his enemy. That is, even God knows that that man dimension you need it. So if you have not been doing well in your social and relational growth, you are welcome to the building church. Because it is here that your steps are going to be reorchestrated. One thing I want you to expect every time you come to church is standing on those four pedestals. Number one, mental and intellectual growth. That is, we are going to have to check your mental well-being. Yeah. And your intellectual well-being. Every time you come to church, expect that. That is what we mean when we say that we build a people of balanced stature for Jesus in all spheres of life. In all spheres of life. And this we do emphasizing three four things. We emphasize what? The Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the revealer. Number two, we emphasize the Word of God. Because it is with the Word that you build. It is practice of the Word that bring about stability. Whether you are a foolish person or a wise person, you will build with the Word. And then another thing is prayers. There is no way you can increase without prayers. Jude 20, Amplified Translation. He said, beloved, build yourself up founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Another thing you should expect to do when you come to the building church, which is one of our vision, is that you make progress. That every time you are making progress. Why? Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18. He said, the path of the righteous will shine brighter and brighter. And God told me one time when I was studying that scripture, he said it did not end there. It's the person that wrote it that wrote brighter and brighter. He said it ends where you end. It can be brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter and brighter till you are tired. So you are expected to make progress. One of the reasons why you're still on earth is because there is an opportunity for you to advance. There's an opportunity for you to be better than yesterday. And then Proverbs 15 verse 4, 24. Proverbs 15, 24. He said the path of light lead upward for the righteous. It prevents him from going down. The path of light lead upward for the righteous. It prevents him from going down. Your trajectory is only upward only. I see your trajectory is only upward only. So when we say building a people of balanced stature for Jesus, expect progress. Expect progress in your finance. Expect progress in your spirituals. Expect progress in your social and relational life, in your marriages, in every area of life. Because Jesus painted it to us. There are four pillars upon which balanced growth is standing. Number one, mental and intellectual growth. Number two is what? Number three is what? Favor with God, which connotes what? Spiritual growth and intimacy. Spiritual growth and intimacy. And then favor with men connotes social and relational growth. Are we blessed or blessed? Alright, so we have been considering a very powerful topic, proclaim. I shall proclaim. This is not the time to be quiet. I shall proclaim. You know, the devil actually is happy when you are quiet. Because he knows that a quiet life is a defeated life. I'm going to show you a number of scriptures today, and I really want us to follow carefully. I observe that there is something we call legal redemption and experiential redemption. Legal redemption is the finished work of Christ. That is, legally, every person on earth is already saved. Do you know what I mean by that? That is, Jesus already legally paid for every person on earth. Every person, including an herbalist. So there is legal dimension of salvation. That legal dimension of salvation is not dependent on you. It's dependent on Christ. And Christ already finished the work. I say Christ finished the work. He already saved us. There is not the experiential dimension. The experiential dimension is your partnership. Your partnership in the sense that you say something to acknowledge what was done. And that's why the Bible says that if we believe in our heart that what Jesus died for our sin and rose again on the third day for our justification, and we declare with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be what? Saved. Your partnership, the experiential dimension, that is you entering into what Jesus has finished, is tied to your saying it. It's tied to your saying it. And then in Leviticus chapter 25 verse 10, where the word for the month has been coined from, we said that word that it is the year of the Lord's favor. That is the year of the Lord's favor. He said, consecrate the 50th year and proclaim. Consecrate the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout the land to all its inhabitants. Are we still here? He said, it shall be a jubilee for you. Is that how you respond? It's a jubilee for me. So from that scripture, please be seated. We discover that our proclaiming is on the strength of jubilee. And my wife beautifully explained to us during commanding your month that Jesus is our jubilee. So if Jesus is our jubilee, that jubilee means the finished work of Christ, which is the legal dimension. It's now become your own responsibility to proclaim that what has been finished. And that is why the Bible says in Joel chapter 3 verse 10b, he said, what let the weak say, I am strong. And then in Job chapter 22 verse 28, he said, you shall decree a thing and it shall be established. And then in Isaiah chapter 54 verse 17, the Bible says what? He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. He said, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment. Wait. He said, every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you will refute. You will refute. He said, this is the vindication of the servants of the Lord. Do you know what that implies? He said, no weapon formed against you will prevail. What it implies is that the legal dimension has been revealed. It is a promise. Yes, last week I was establishing that there are two things you can proclaim. Number one is prophecies, deeply rooted in scriptures. Number two are promises. Promises. And we saw in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 20, he said, for no matter how many promises God has made, in Christ. That is, the legal dimension is that, listen to me, anytime you are reading the Old Testament, when you hear the righteous, it's only a few, and even those people, they will stone them. Every promise in the Old Testament, there was nobody that could claim it, because it was for the righteous. And there was none of them that was righteous. In fact, Isaiah went further to show us that all the unrighteousness in the Old Testament is like a feeding rag before God. But when you enter into the new covenant in Christ, that is all the promises. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews 11, I think from verse 39, he said, God has something great for us, that only together with us will he be made perfect. That is, all of these people, they saw the promise coming. He said, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what has been promised, because the promise was for the righteous. He now said, verse 40, he said in verse 40, he said, God had planned something better for us, that only together with us will he be made perfect. So that is what the Bible was saying, no matter how many promises we have in God, we have the yes in Christ. But it did not end there. That is just the legal dimension. It's like saying that every member of the building church have a Sabbath truck. I'm not saying that we will buy it. That is, you have. Then every person is driving their own Sabbath truck out, except for one guy. He don't know that as a member, he has the right to drive a Sabbath truck. Whether or not he is driving a Sabbath truck is his. Every promise you see in the Old Testament, the Bible says they are yes in Christ. You can be sickly, is yes in Christ. You cannot be detained, is yes in Christ. No matter how many, the Bible says all of the people in the Old Testament, including David, did not see thing close to small of what the promises are. He said, no matter how many those promises are. So if I were you, I would go and start searching for those promises. Because the law of consciousness states that people proclaim what they are conscious of. You cannot walk into any reality you are not conscious of. You see, in the realm of the spirit, consciousness is king. I am conscious. I'm under the blessing. No matter how many promises there are in Christ, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. You don't get it. That Psalm 23 you have been quoting, that the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. It is yes in Christ. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and is saved. The Bible says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Any promise, say, I have been young, yet I have been old now. I have been young now, I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken. Nor their children begged for bread. It's still the righteous they are talking about. In the Old Testament, they were just looking at the righteous. That, hey, these people, they couldn't have been righteous. But the Bible says, no matter how many promises are in the Bible, no matter how many promises God made, they are yes in Christ. But we now have a path. That is the legal dimension. That is, if you go to the place of court, that is why you hear that scripture say vindication. Ha! Some of you have been vindicated, but you are not showing up in court. You are not saying it. He said in that Isaiah, please follow me, Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. He said, no weapon forged against you shall prosper. He said, and every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you shall condemn. He said, this is the heritage of the servant of the Lord, and their vindication from the Lord. You don't get it. The promise is already that no matter what the devil forge, it can't prevail. But you now, it is your right to show up and declare it. Do you know what concerns me? This weapon that the Bible is talking about, hope you know, is in the realm of the thought. He said, no weapon forged against you will prevail, and you will refute every tongue that accuses you. He said, this is the heritage of the servant of God. You don't get it. It is your heritage. He said, and this is their vindication from me, declares the Lord. What it implies. What God has finished for you, it takes your partnership to declare it for the vindication to be truly yours. But in the realm of the spirit, the vindication is already yours. There is the legal dimension. No matter how you sin now, Jesus will not have to die again. It was a done deal. The only thing, the worst sinner, think to any sinner, the worst one, Boko Haram, think to worst sinner. If he can just confess the lordship of Jesus, he will be saved. If he can proclaim that Jesus is Lord, that's all. No matter how stinking his sins. And that's why I used to say it. I want to beg you. Please don't be killed by a witch. Number one, don't be killed by a witch. Number two, don't be killed by an armed robber. Especially if you are not saved. Because that armed robber can get saved. The Bible says that a live dog is better than a dead lion. Any person that is, the only person that does not have hope is the devil. Because he has been judged. But you see, the toughest of witches can still make heaven. If he had killed you and you are in a fire, just imagine that the person that killed you is in heaven. Maybe he's the one even called, taking the honor roll and saying, I saved millions of souls to the kingdom. And they are crowning him. And you saw him and said, heaven, this is the guy that God, he said. Because listen to me. Not until your mouth is shut, your destiny is still open. Not until your mouth is shut, your destiny is still open. So, in that 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says, no matter how many promises we have in Christ, what will happen? No matter how many promises God has made, what will happen? And true. Don't be silent. Now look at what is there. Do you know what amen means? Because many of you don't even know amen. What this scripture is saying is that the so be it is spoken by us. You don't get it though. Pastor Samin, come. Mr. David, come. Now, Pastor Me, you face that place. Mr. David, come. No, Pastor Me, face back. Face back. Don't face back. Face that place. Now, me, I'm going to make promises for Pastor Me that I want to give him. That anytime he sees me, I'm going to give him. Anytime he sees me, I will give him. Can we all see what I want to give him? Now, Pastor Sammy, please come. Now, you need to hurt because you hurt us. You need to hurt like you don't even know I made any promise. Just be around me, be serving me between many things, and don't remember any promise I made. Please, can Pastor Sammy hold me at my word as he doesn't even know what I promised him? Okay, now, what did I promise you? Come and collect what I promised you. He still did not know what I promised, even when I gave him opportunity to speak. That is how some of you hurt. You don't know how many promises you have in Christ. So the devil is dealing with you and your promises are staring at you. Because the Bible did not say that no matter how many promises we have in God, God will give us. He said we have a responsibility. We will not say so be it. So be it. So okay, what is so be it? Now come to me and say so be it. So be what? If he doesn't know the promise, it can't be so. So you don't just go up and say, so be it, so be it, so be it. And the devil say, so be it. I mean, we have no problem. So be it. Why? Because the Bible says, for no matter how many promises God has made. Me, I want to ask you, what has God promised you? And don't forget, I said, there are two ways to proclaim. Two things, prophecies and promises. Prophecy on the strength of you can look into the scripture and find a prophecy that is for you. Another one is promises. Another one is that a prophet inspired of God spoke and prophesied. Do you know that in the Bible actually, that's why I said two things you can proclaim. prophecy and promises. And that prophet, and that script in the Bible, when the Bible was talking about the gift of the Spirit, there are utterance gifts. When it came to utterance gifts, the Bible said that there is either speak in tongue, there is either interpret, and then there is prophecy. Then the Bible now weighed the two of them and said, any person that is saying something that people cannot understand, that is only God that is understanding, that the person is lower. Then when he now came to prophecy, he said that either prophesy unto edification, unto comfort, unto strengthening, unto encouragement. Ha! And you want to be quiet. Anytime you are done, the Bible says if you prophesy, that you are going to have to do it unto encouragement. He said, for he that prophesied speaketh not unto men, but unto God. That is in 1 Corinthians 14. That is 1 Corinthians 14 you are supposed to go to. This one just shows your transcript. In 1 Corinthians 14. Give me verse 14. Verse 14. He said, for if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. Like I'm saying, utterance gift, you can be saying something that your mind is not fruitful about. And I've often said it, that most times when people pray and in the spirit, that is not the end result. The end result of actually praying in the spirit is that the spirit drops something in your spirit. You see, that thing that is dropped in your spirit will now move from your spirit, which is your heart, into your mind. It is what is in your mind that you can talk about. And that is why I said that when your mind does not understand again, give the mind something it does not understand, which is praying in tongues. When you are praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues and praying in tongues, because the thought, the realm of the thought, is one of the devil's weapons. One of the ways you can silence what's the disturbance in the realm of the mind is that you also give the mind a disturbance that it does not understand, that can be override. Take for instance, if you are a system person, there is no system, there is no file on the system, if it's a good system, or if it's a system that's working. No system can take the same file, can use the same name for one file. No matter where that thing is, if you try and put the same name, the system will tell you, you can't save it here. That there is already a file with this name. Do you want to put one behind? Do you want to put two behind? Or do you want to overwrite? Overwrite. Now, this is what happens. Every time your mind is disturbed, the overriding system of heaven is that you begin to say something. When you are saying it, once there is your spirit pick things in the spirit, it will return it back to the mind and override whatever disturbances are the realm of the mind. So the new folder in your mind is going to be what has been downloaded from the realm of the spirit. But that you cannot do by keeping quiet. Please let me celebrate. I want to show you something. Romans chapter 10. Are we getting blessed or blessed? Romans 10. Please give me from verse 9. Romans 10. Please, can we read this together? No, give me from verse 6 because of my time. Give me from verse 6 very quickly. Give me from verse 6. Please, can we read it together? Wait. He said, but the righteousness that is by faith, what does he say? He says, do not say in your heart. Now, wait. That's why when I was talking the other time, I was making reference to the heart. Hope you know that faith must be in two places. Faith must be in your heart and it must be in your mouth. Faith cannot be in your heart and be lacking your mouth. You will not get the result. Please say it after me. Faith must be in two places. In my mouth and in my heart. Please, where is the Bible saying faith is saying something? He said, do not say in your heart. In your heart. He said, but the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say, in your heart, and hope you know, the validity of what you say is stronger in your heart than at your mouth. Oh, you not get it. Anything you say is stronger in your heart than your mouth. But there's something I want to show us here. He said, who will ascend to heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Next verse, very quickly. Or who will descend and bring Christ from the dead? Next verse, now look at this. He said, but what does it say? Please, what does it say here is, who is saying something? Who is he saying something? Is it the heart or the mouth? Is the heart. Is that what he says? That is, even in the heart realm, the heart is still saying, he said, the word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are. So when we say proclaim, you are not all proclaiming nonsense. There is an overriding mechanism that must be happening in your heart. That when your mind is saying nonsense, hope you know that, like I said, faith must be found in two places. Faith must be found in your heart and in your mouth. But do you know the mediator between the heart and the mouth is the mind? If there is doubt in your mind and you are saying with your mouth is closer to your mind than to your heart. So if not until there is an override from your heart move to your mind, you will be saying nonsense even when you have faith in your heart. That is what happens when you believe the word. I cannot fail. I cannot have extra year. The man of God was telling it to you. You saw it in your spirit, but your mouth could not say it because there is doubt in your mind. Man is a tripartite being. Man is a spirit. He has a soul. He lives in the body. Closest to your mind is your mouth. How did I know this? Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12, he said the word of the Lord is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. He said it can pierce between soul and what? Spirit. He said what? Joint and marrow. He said it judges the thought and the attitude of the heart. That is what the word of God does. Breaking news. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. The Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He said he was with God in the beginning. He said, with him was all things created. He said, without him was not anything that was created that was created. What it implies is that the things that are lacking in your life is waiting for your creation. Because some of you have not begun in your beginning. In the beginning, it is words. You don't get it. You have not begun. You are framing your reality by what the society is saying to you. You are framing your reality by what your family is saying to you. You are framing your reality by what your academics is saying. Your academics say you are dull, and you have not begun anything. Because your beginning begins when you start talking. You don't get it. Nobody can frame your reality for you. You will have to speak. Please be seated. It is not real to you. Everything every other person is saying, they will be saying it on the strength of their conviction. Not until you start saying something you have not begun life. Because the Bible said in the beginning, every beginning has the word. Your own life have not started because you have not been speaking. See, others have gone ahead, let them go. But you are about to begin because in the beginning, words. And do you know what scared me the most? He said, what is God? The God of your destiny is words. He said, God is what? If you flip to verse 17 of it, he said the word became flesh. That is, you have to keep saying it until you become one with it. And then it enters into reality. Because in the realm of the spirit, one of the materials that are needed as a raw material for creation is words. You can't be quiet. You have not begun, or if you have not been talking. Every person you know, including God, began by speaking. Your day has not begun. No. In fact, your day is not yours if you have not spoken into that day. Your day has not begun. And that is why it is very important the things you say into the day. Guy, I cannot be beggarly. Because the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Your Word is a God. The things you are saying are God's. They govern your life. And do you know the irony? In James chapter 3, the Bible showed us that just as a small rudder steers a big ship, so is your word. That is, your word is charting the course for your destiny. Everything you are saying, your life is following up it. God, I can't be sick. Listen to me. This is not some spiritual jamboree. Please don't be quiet in these meetings. I say I can't be sickly. Don't allow your mouth to be shut. Every beginning you wake up, you begin to say things. Though my beginning is small, my latter end shall be great. Don't keep quiet. The best way to override anything that they have said in your destiny is to say something too. Because you have not begun if you have not spoken words. Your marital has not begun if you have not spoken words. And that's why there is something called what? There is vow. Vow taking. You say, whatever, I thereby take you. Why are they asking you to say it? Why didn't they just allow you to sign and go? Because every new beginning is introduced by words. One of the ways that you will never make headway in destiny and life is how frequent God gives you words. You know what I mean? How frequent God gives you words. That God come again and said, David Shamban, you cannot be beggarly. Every time God keep reestablishing his covenant with Abraham, do you think that God does not have work to do? He will build an altar to the Lord and a name is battered out of it. Because hope you know that in a day, what you are going to mention the most are names. Right. In a day. You say, treasure, why are you doing this? Treasure, stop. Treasure this. Okay, the tap. Tap is a name. Whatever, water is a name. Okay, we are going to, boss is a name. You are going to use name more often. Her name actually is a representation of all the characteristics and attributes of a thing. So every time God shows up and said, Jerry, I am the Lord that will do it. Because it's at the place of intimacy, you get experience and names of God. Every time there are challenges, names are battered. God said, I am Jehovah Jireh. Hope you know Jehovah Jireh wouldn't have been a name if Abraham did not need God to provide. Some of you have been calling names of God on people's experiences. Which one will you give a generation to call on your experience? That when somebody say he can't finish, what is Yehovah? The God of it can't finish, what is Yehovah? Because truly, we head on to that word. It can't finish and it has not finished yet. Don't be quiet. It has not ended until you are quiet. Because once words are introduced, it has just begun. In the beginning, God! I want to show you one scripture that will scare you a bit. You have read it severally, but you don't understand it. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. I'm going to need it in NIV first. Then you are going to give it to me in Living Bible. Then you are going to give it to me in MSG. And then you are going to give it to me in Amplify. I want to show you something. And then I'll give you opportunity to declare. And then we'll write further. Are we getting blessed or blessed? Please, can we read this together? The sun is the radiance of God and the exact representation of his. What is he doing? Wait. Aya kevara makesona. The Bible says God brought them out of Egypt by a prophet. And by a prophet he sustained them. And the only thing I could see the prophet doing, which was Moses, was that he was speaking. Yeah. Moses was always on the mountain saying something. Then he will come back and say something. And say something. That means that the reality of what was formed was on the strength of words. Your life cannot be sustained if you have nothing to say. Wait. Don't be in this to write. And that's why I say, maybe you have not been saying the scripture. He said, the sun is the radiance of God's glory. The exact representation of his being. Where must the sun now be talking? That is, that reality is sustained by saying something. He says, sustaining what is by his powerful words. Give it to me in Living Bible. Let me show you something. Living Bible, MSD, and all of that. He said, God's sun shines out with God's glory. He said, and all that God's sun is and does marks him as God already. But now look at it. He said, he regulates. Hakapai. Hey, Jesus. That things are not going the way they are supposed to be. You have forgotten who you are. He is the exact representation of his being. He regulates the things and say, hey, I am the exact representation of God's being. He sustains things by the word of his power. You are the only one that is quiet. Things are not going the way they are supposed to be. You are quiet. You are not learning from the sun. The Bible, he regulates the universe by the mighty power of his command. He is not keeping quiet. Because the Bible says, where the word of a king is, there is power. You are the only king that is not saying anything. Your words are not suggestions, they are command. They regulate situation. All of a sudden, they say they are removing people from work. You as a king, and you still kept quiet, you are removed. He said he regulates the universe by the mighty power of his command. You are the only one that don't begin anything until things have begun on your life. The God did not wait for confusion to continue. He said, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God. The word was God. What it implies is that everything you are saying is a God. Because the Son shows us that he is the exact representation of God's being, but he made sure that he regulated that thing. When things are not going the way it's supposed to, he used words regulating. I want to ask us a question. When there was storm, why did Jesus speak to the storm? Why didn't he just tell the storm that I am the Son of God? When they needed a miracle for the wine to increase, why didn't Jesus just meditate it? Did you know what the mother said unto them? He said, anything he says, haya, kaparade. Because the mothers know. The mother know that this is my son in regulating by his saying. And that is why even when Jesus died, the Bible reminded us that as he has said, in Matthew chapter 28 verse 6, he said he's not here, he has risen, as he has said. Did you know why? Because in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus said he was going to die, he did not end there. He also said he was going to rise on the third day. That is how things are regulated. And that is why last week I was telling you, you are not a spoon. You are not spoon. Kai. Regulate things. Oh. There is power here. Proverbs chapter 18 verse 21. Okay, give me an MSG. Before I go to Romans. I'm going to go to Proverbs 18 verse 20 and 21. Please, can we read this together with me? He said, the sun perfectly mirrors who? And is stamped with God's. He holds everything together by what he? Things will not fall apart until your words are apart. All the promises that God has for you, you have to say it.
Now, I like this next one, MSG. Amplifier. I like that one. It's very long. He said, he is the sole expression of the glory of God, the light being, the outrailing or radiance of the divine, and he is the perfect imprint and very image of God's nature. That is who I am too. It is the promise of God. In John chapter 5 verse 39, Jesus said, he said, you search the scripture because you think by them you will have eternal life. He said, yes, this scripture speak about me. And then in Hebrews chapter 7, he said, I come in the volume of the book it is written about me. You guys don't understand. They write books in volume. What you are seeing now is just introduction. I have not released volume 1. I come in the volume of the book is written about me. It means that I will keep saying it. The things you guys are hearing now is just the introductory part. I think that is Hebrews chapter 6 verse 10 or thereabout. Oh, 7 verse 10. He said, I come in the volume of the book. It is written about me. 10 verse 7. Thank you. He said, then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written about me to do thy will, O God. And then in Psalm 118, I think verse 17 or thereabout, the Bible says, I shall not die, but live and proclaim what the Lord has done. Then Psalm 107 verse 2, the Bible says, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Ha! 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 Let the blessed of the Lord say so. Let the lifted of the Lord say so. Let the healed of the Lord say so. Hi! You are the only one keeping quiet. Psalm 107 verse 2, you are not showing. He said, let the redeemer of the Lord say so. Whom he had redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let me tell you. Please sit there. When the car is about to enter the bush for the accident to happen, it's not only Yahme that is the response. The response is the ransom of the Lord return always. Listen to me. When you are on the sick bed, that you are shaking like this, like leaf, that you are doing like this, you are doing like this, the response is not, hey, mommy, take it, go fell away. No, that's not the response. The response is, the Bible says, let the weak say I'm strong. It is what God promises you will say, not what people paint as the reality of the society. The society, Job 22, verse 29. If you give it to me in KJV, Job 22, 29, and then I'll give us opportunity to talk. Because listen to me, it has not begun until you start speaking. Everything they are saying, you will not end it until you have spoken. There is an overriding effect. Ha! It will overwrite what has been said. Please be seated. He said, when men are cast down, then thou shalt say. Thou shalt say there is a lifting, and it shall save the humble person. Please come. Where is the keyboard, man? Where is the Mr. Tiffet? This is not the time for you not to be here. I want to give you opportunity to begin to speak, actually. He will come and save you. If that's how you're going to talk, any way you want to speak. Because remember, it has not begun until you are speaking. There's something they call override. Is that how you will pray here? Is that you pray here? Is that you pray here? Give me that Hebrews 1:3 MSG translation. Is that you talk here? Is that you talk here? Hebrews 1:3 MSG. He holds everything together. He holds everything together by powerful words. He holds everything together by what he says. What are you saying? What are you saying? What are you saying? Rababako shakabalamatai. He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Lift up your heart.
power.
I don't know the bad things that they have said concerning you, but you can override it. There can be an overriding. I don't know how many promises God has made concerning you. This is the time for you to begin to proclaim it. He holds everything together by what he says. What are you saying? You can do better than what you are doing now. Remove your Bible, remove your writings, and begin to check the promises. Begin to hold everything together. Begin to sustain things by the words I have said. I don't know what people have said concerning you. There can be an override. Bring your thoughts back home. Bring your bad thoughts back home. This is not the time to be distracted, guys. He holds everything together by what he says. Powerful words, powerful words, powerful words, powerful words. I am anaketa barabababababaradabanamanamaha. Now I want to give you 1 minute. It's okay, it's okay. I want to give you 1 minute. Just leave the keyboard person. You pray. I want to give you 1 minute. Keyboard continue. You pray. You pray. Don't drop the mic and pray. I want to give you 1 minute to pray in the language of the Spirit. I don't know what is happening to you, but there can be a shift now. There can be an override. Please don't be quiet. For some of you, this is a new beginning. Things are about to begin again. It has not ended until you start speaking. Ayada, it ends when you allow it to end. Maske kolate barakena. I beg you, don't be quiet this season. This is not the time to be quiet. This is the time to speak. Makela alamana. Ayabada bada 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 bada. Yeketa barato barate. Don't be quiet, oh. Don't be quiet. The things you can proclaim this season. Prophecies. 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 Look for that thing that is not looking like it yet. I am not poor. I am one spirit. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. I am one spirit. No matter how many promises God has made, the yes is in Christ. I am. The world is near you. The world is near you. The world is near you. In your mouth, in your mouth, in your mouth. The world is near you. It is in your mouth. He said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that shall rise against you in judgment, you will condemn. This is the time to commend. This is the time to begin to condemn things. Every accusation that have risen against you, friends, don't allow it. The Bible says it is your heritage. It is the vindication of those that God has helped. Mane rakataba, shada da da bara boko seka. He said, we understand that by
And this life is the light of men. John chapter 6 verse 63. He said, the words I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. Ayaka bakosaka, irabana kasekela, robosaka makemosi. Hey, don't be quiet. Don't be quiet, oh. Ayana barate, yekeno saminaka, lambo kosani, la ba 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 ba. Don't forget, don't forget. We pray here, yeah. We pray here, yeah. We pray here, yeah. We pray here. Yeah. Proclaim it. Ya ba 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 ba. Ira ba ko sakanima. Pray, oh, pray, 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 pray.
Oh, shaba la ba la ba la ga 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 ga
ga ga ga ga ga ga ga ga ga ga. Don't worry, you just pray. You just pray, pray, pray. Ayana, kesaka barato sana, leke te 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 te. Aya, yeah, light fire. Let your glory fall. Fire, rain, let it fall.
Sheba la ba la ba la ba here. Empaka so
light fire. Mighty name we pray. I sense that the hand of God will begin to rest on people. Just don't worry, just follow this. This is what God wants to do now. Some of you are pregnant with negative words. There's about to be an override. The spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal. Silence, silence. The glory of the reign. Spirit of the sovereign Lord,
come.
No. You just follow your song. You just follow your prayer. Just keep quiet. I'm the only one singing. The glory of the risen God. So let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory.
get away. Can we be a bit quiet? Let's silence. Just silence. What I perceive, right, is that God wants to unpick some of you. This is what I hear, actually. Some of you, they have been... The realm of the spirit is full of pregnant words of negative proclamation towards you. What God wants to do is an override. But before you begin to declare it yourself, I just need you to listen to this song. Please give me the hint. Let the weight of your glory cover us. Let the light of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the weight of your glory flow. Let the weight of your glory, let it cover us. Let the life of your river flow. Let the truth of your kingdom reign in us. Let the way of your glory. Spirit of the sovereign Lord, come and make your presence known, reveal the glory of the risen. So like fire, like rain, let your glory fall. Like fire, rain, let it like fire rain, let your glory fall. Like fire rain, let it fire rain. Let your glory fall. Fire rain, let it fall. Owo Oluwa nbe lori aye mi, o nbe mi, o nbe mi sare. Owo Oluwa nbe lori aye mi, o nbe mi fun, o nbe mi sare. Owo Jehova nbe lori iseda mi, o nbe mi fun, o nbe mi sare. Owo Jesu nbe lori iseda mi, o nbe mi fun, o nbe mi sare. Owo Jesu nbe lori iseda mi, sorry. Oh, well.
da mi o he o gbe mi fo o gbe mi sare mama help me sing this song owo jesu nbe glory aye mi o gbe mi fo o gbe mi sare. Some of you, God is visiting your foundation again now. What I see is that God is rewriting story again. I want your head to be, your heart to be on your head. Because God is about to visit your source again. God is about to rewrite the story for someone again. Ah, le maraka barada makai. Oh, be me po. Ongbe mi sa owo Jesu nbe glory aye mi. Now I want some of you to begin to speak and override all those negative words that have been spoken in your direction. Because don't forget, he says sustain all things by his powerful words. A new beginning is beginning for some of you. Beginning is beginning for some of you. That embargo of delay is about to be shifted. Ha 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 ha. Ba 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 ba. Shake it all, ba 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 ba. Some of you, the atmosphere has been pregnant with wrong words. There's about to be an override. There's about to be a shift. Shake it in Baramanama.
Oh, baby, for oh, baby, sir. Oh, Jesus.
Ira Baba Bako Sakina.
Glory, I am you. Oh, baby, for
oh, baby, for
oh, baby, sir.
A shift is here. A shift is here.
Oh, baby,
there is a stirring again. God is over the surface of the deep. Is what you say now. Some of you, there is light on your mind. Light on your mind. Ayana, Katela, Barana, Sande, Kola. I want to give you a few minutes to pray. But this time I want you to do it in tongues. But I want you to read this scripture out loud before you begin to pray. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27, TPT. Romans 8, 26 and 27. I want us to read it out loud. Then we'll begin to blast in the language of the Spirit. Yes. That is a song. Not your grace, my life must change. I will never be the same. I've taught your grace.
My life has
so
changed.
That's what my man will ever sing. But I have a few more minutes here. So you can pray. You see, you can't be teaching on proclaim and you are not proclaiming anything. Now, please, can we read this together with me in as loud as you can? And in a similar way, the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our inner frailty to empower us in our weakness. For example, at times, we don't even know how to pray or how best or know the best things to ask for. He said, but the Holy Spirit rises up within us to super what? Intercede on our behalf, pleading to God with emotional sighs too deep for what? Now, next verse. He said, God, what? The way you are saying it, I'm suspecting you. He said, God, what? He knows fully our... Yet, he also understands the desires of the... Because the Holy Spirit passionately...
A help for us is only once. In what? With God and our. With this revelation now, can you begin to pray in the language of the Spirit? Knowing that what is happening is that there is reconfiguration. I don't want anyone to be distracted this season. This moment, everybody pray. Every person take a place and pray. Don't be distracted. There is reconfiguration. There is a shift going on. Nobody should be distracted at this moment. Every person pray. Some things that are take home. When you get home, please don't be quiet. Don't forget that you fashion things, you frame things, you put things in order by words. And it has truly ended for a man that have not spoken. Because in the beginning, the word of God, and the word will become flesh. I'm praying for everyone. Every negative words that have been released in your direction, that have begun to take form, in the name of Jesus, like Moses said, he said, let Reuben live and not die. He said, may his men not be few. The same way I stand where I belong, and I point in your direction, every negative words that have been started, that have started taking shape in your life, I say, live and not die. May your men not be few. In the name of Jesus, I sustain you by the word of life. And in the name of Jesus, I said, walk in the reality of the promises of God. Ezekiel chapter 37, from verse 1 to 10. The Bible says, he said, son of man, that is the last thing I want you to do, and then I'll be out of this place. He said, son of man, can these bones live again? I don't know, because when he started, he said, I was taken to the valley of dry bones. He said they were very dry. He said, then he said, son of man, can this bone live again? I don't know what that bone is. That you have think you, hey, I can't come out of this depth. I can't come out of this whatever. But God is saying this season, that bone will live again. So he says, can this bone live again? Please, everybody taking snapshot and all this thing. Just stop for now, please. You are distracting me. He said, son of man, can these bones live again? He said, oh sovereign God. He said, you alone know. The one that know, he said, your bone will live again. I said, the one that know, he said, your bone will live again. Look at what he now said. Look at what he said. Then he said to me, professor, I want to give you opportunity. Because the wind is about to happen just like it happened here. He said, prophesy this to the bone and say, dry bones, hear the word. Is the word of God you are speaking. He said, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Look at the next verse. He said, this is what the sovereign Lord says. These bones, I will make breath enter into you and you will come to life again. Next verse, very quickly. He said, I will attack tenders and all of that. Next verse. He said, so I prophesy as I was commanded. Now I want you to begin to prophesy as you are also commanded. That bone could be in your finance. It could be in your spirituals. It could be in your academics. It could be in your relational life. It could be in your maritals. Can you begin to prophesy as you are commanded? He said, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together. And the bones came together, bone to bone, tender to tender. He said, and yeah, they arranged themselves skin to skin. He said, but there was no breath in them. I prophesy again, and there was wind. Is that you are going to prophesy to bones? I don't know what represents bone in your life. It could be your marital. You may have been saying what you like, but this is a season to prophesy. Because they will come to life again. They will come to life again. Rabado sake maramanaka. Preke sababa baranda lamakosika. Pray, pray. 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 He will come and save you. He will come and save you. Lift up your hearts to him. You will arise again. He will come and save you. Father, we thank you. Jesus, we give you glory. Blessed be your holy name. For in Jesus' mighty name I will pray. When others are cast down, you are lifted. Mind-blowing testimonies will come from this your proclamation. In the name of Jesus. When Isaac spoke concerning the destiny of Jacob, he said, I have made him. I have sustained him. I said, by words you are also made. You are sustained. For some of you, I say you are married. Restored. Every embargo of delay broken. You are lifted, though. In the name of Jesus. I want you to go with one consciousness that there's an overriding. Every negative word is already override. You are blessed. Proclaim it to yourself. Say, I am blessed. I am a proclaimer. I am blessed. I am lifted. I can never be down. Glory to God. Can you go up with a shout?
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope you've been blessed. This is the Building Church. Our core values are spiritual growth, service and impact, personal development, honor, excellence, love work, faith, family life, and societal transformation. And our pillars are the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, and reaching out. Join us for our Sunday Glorious service at 8 a.m. and our midweek service every Wednesday by 5:30 p.m. at the Building Church behind Bekadim's Tanke Okiodo, Ilorin, Kwara State. Please follow us on all social media platforms at the Building Church. Stay blessed.